start a little bit of the swinging music first for you? The name of the band? Alright, we have Rachel Sousa with us. How do you pronounce your name?
Sousa.
Rachel Sousa. Okay, where were you born, Rachel?
Tangier, Morocco.
Wow. And when was that?
It was February 21st, 1966.
66, what a good year. And what's your permanent address?
Right now it's Los Angeles, California.
What's the address?
1623 North Formosa, apartment 5.
Okay. Now, what we're doing here is I'm going to do a book. It's going to be called Attic. And I'm going to have your picture on one side. And then on the other side, I'm going to have a page about your life. And there's going to be 50 other people in this book. And I want you to tell me some stuff about your life that was bizarre, painful, your experience as a child growing up, your spiritual path right now, what happened, what your little part in this book might contribute to helping maybe other addicts identify with, you know, with this hope. And just feel free to talk about whatever you want. You know, if you mention the program, don't worry about someone taking any NA stuff out. If you take programs also, that we can still leave it in. But just feel freely as if you're talking to a newcomer or telling somebody close to you your stories in the event of school or something like that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So just...
How long do you have?
You can talk for 90 minutes if you want, okay? So you can talk for 15 minutes.
Okay, this is pretty weird. I was born in Morocco. Both my parents are drug addicts. When I was there, they went there because drugs were legal, and while I was there, I was kidnapped by Arabs, and because my parents owed money for drugs. My father was really strange. He was put in the same asylum there, and it got really out of hand. So finally, they decided to send us back to the United States. My parents are from New York, and we went to New York, and then my parents got divorced. I was about 5. And my mom went to Connecticut. What time was it?
This is wonderful. You have one of the best stories in my whole book. This comes close to my story.
Okay.
So you hear this song? Get back to Morocco?
Anyway, so we went back to New York, and my mom went to a treatment center, behavior modification place called Daytop. And while she was there, I lived with my grandparents in New York, and they were really wealthy, and got whatever I wanted, but I was really scared of everybody, and I would like hide in my room. And my father was still getting high and being really crazy, and he was in near where I was living, and I don't remember too much about him, but he kidnapped me from my grandparents and took me to Woodstock and shot me up with heroin when I was a child. And when I was brought back, I had to be hospitalized. I was very afraid of him. When I was about 6, my mom had graduated from this treatment center and sent for me, and I went to live with her in Connecticut, and we moved around a lot. She was a counselor in the treatment center, and they would transfer her around. And I moved like every 6 months, and I lived all over New England, and I lived in the treatment center. I'm an only child, and I remember feeling like I had a bunch of brothers and sisters, but it was really bizarre. My mom got remarried to somebody she met in the treatment center, and he was an addict, and he was in the mafia. And I don't know recovery back then was different, and you could have drinking privileges, and we really weren't clean, totally. So one night my father got really drunk, my stepfather, and got in a really bad motorcycle accident where he lost half of his leg. And things were very, very bizarre. This is really weird to do this. Okay. Anyway, after the motorcycle accident he had, things were really frantic in my house, and my parents fought a lot, and but they stayed together for a while. We continued moving around, and I still was very afraid of everyone. I had a hard time making friends. I found art to be a good escape for me, and I would just sit in my room and draw all day and hope not to talk to anyone. I was very good in school. I got straight A's, and basically I just did whatever I did and tried not to communicate too much with people. When I was about 10, my mom got divorced from my second father, and we moved to Florida, where we moved in with my grandparents. And I kind of consider my grandparents to be like my parents, and my mom to be more like my sister. She was not very responsible. We moved in with my grandparents, and my mom and I slept in the same bed. And she started going to school, and she went to college, and she worked her way up and got a master's degree and all this. Anyway, I started working when I was like 12, and it was almost like I was taking care of her. Anything like that? Okay.
Wonderful. I mean, this is the best I've ever had. Okay. Wonderful story. Great shooting. You're really with it, man.
My grandmother treated me really bizarrely. She like tried to make me her friend, and she gave me like house dresses to wear, sat me in front of the television, gave me food, and gave me coffee. So I started drinking coffee. I continued in school doing really, really well, and I felt very inferior to the people that I went to school with. It was a very rich neighborhood in Miami Beach, Florida. You know, I had lived like so many places, and I didn't really know where I fit in, and I dressed very differently. Everyone was really rich, and they didn't feel a part of that. When I was about, I guess in my seventh grade, we moved to Colorado, and we had taken a trip across the country, and we ended up in Colorado. And that's where I first started getting high. And that's when my life totally took a drastic change. My first drug was hash, and I didn't get high, but I pretended to get high because I wanted to be accepted. I was still getting straight A's in school, but the schools in Colorado were really easy. I only stayed there for 3 months because in August it was snowing, and I hated it. So I moved back to Florida, and I lived with my grandmother again. My mom stayed in Colorado. And, I don't know, basically things were pretty normal, I guess. I continued working. I've been working. I went to school. I was just a pretty normal kid, but I hated myself. Anyway, I guess, you know, my mom eventually moved back, and we lived together, and my drug use started really taking off in high school. I met some people, which became my best friends, that got high a lot, and it just became very irresponsible as far as school went, and but I still kept working, but most of the money I just used for drugs. My mom got into coke very heavy at this point. She had been clean for like 10 years, right? And then she started getting high, and now she was dealing coke again. and it was very bad because she had had hepatitis before because she was a junkie, and now her hepatitis came back. And I was living in Miami Beach, and there was a lot of cocaine. It was very cheap, and there was a lot of dealers. Like half my high school was either drug dealers' kids or Jewish American princesses, and the Jewish American princess went out with the drug dealers. Anyway, I fit in there somewhere. I kind of was like all of them put together. It was very, very dangerous environment. The people that would come to my house were very dangerous, but at this point I was using cocaine a lot, very heavy. And the one thing I didn't do was stick a needle in my arm, and I never did that because I thought that was like the slime of the earth did that because of my parents. My father, my real father, all these years was like obsessed with me, and he kept files on me, and he would follow me around, and like every state I would move to, he'd move there, and he was really deranged. Now he was living in Miami Beach when I was in Miami Beach, and he would like spy on me while I was in school and stuff, and I was really afraid. He would like send me pictures of himself masturbating and stuff. He was very sick. But he was like an ex-teacher and like English professor in college. And so like when he got like this money that came to him all the time, and he put it in a fund for me. And like right in the height of my addiction, he gave me like thousands and thousands of dollars. And immediately I just spent it on drugs. Finally, things got really, really bad for me, and I'd always hated living and stuff, but I was really, really fucked up, and I hated living, and I was very suicidal, and I would talk about suicide to my friends, but it didn't even faze anybody. And one day I just decided to try to commit suicide, and I took like 3 bottles of Valium. When I took them, my mom, I was still living with my mom, she was trying to clean up at my aunt's house. And so for 3 days, like, I was unconscious in my house. When she came home, she found me and sent me to the hospital. And I remember when I woke up, I was very angry to still be alive. And I ended up getting introduced to... I shouldn't talk about it. Okay. My cousin Ivan is clean, and he was sent for by my grandmother. He was in Ohio. He was sent for to come and see me in the hospital. And he came to the hospital and gave me this quiz, and it asked me if I was an addict. All these questions asked me if I was an addict. And I answered yes to all the questions, and it was pretty obvious that I had a problem. So he arranged for me to go into the detox unit, and I went to the detox unit. And then he was facilitating this treatment center in Ohio, so he had me go to this treatment center there. And I really didn't want to be clean yet. I was 18, and I thought I was too young to get clean. I didn't feel like I would have any fun. I felt like I would still be real uncool if I stopped getting high. And I didn't know how to live being clean, and I didn't want to. But I stayed clean out of guilt for my grandmother, because she was putting up all this money for me going to this treatment center. I stayed in there for 3 months, and then I was sent to a halfway house in New York, where I stayed for 3 months. But in between the treatment center and halfway house, I went to New York, where I had this long-distance relationship with this guy, and I visited him. And about a month into me being in the halfway house, I found out I was pregnant, and I ended up having surgery for the pregnancy, and it was a very, very painful time. and it just made me want to use that much more, and I really didn't want to be clean enough to know that no matter what happens in my life, I don't have to use, and so I ended up using. But the difference was, this is really weird, the difference was that when I got high this time, I hated it, and I felt really strange because I hadn't been high in about 6 months. So I took 3 hits off a joint, and I felt like an idiot, and I was paranoid, and everyone was laughing at me because I was working at Pizza Hut, and I was wearing this Pizza Hut uniform, and it was just not a good experience. But anyway, so I stayed in that halfway house for about a month more, and I hated every minute of it, so I left. I was supposed to stay in there for like 6 to 9 months. When I left there, I went to Ohio again, and I stayed with my cousin Ivan, in hopes that he could help me to stay clean. And what I really want to do is go back to Florida and just start right back up in the same situation again. I stayed clean while I was there for about 3 months, but I learned ways to stay clean through NA, and I went to meetings every day, and to a program for recovering addicts, like you said, and but I didn't really want to stay clean yet. I was just like there, still kind of out of guilt, and meanwhile, I was applying for art school, and I was to start art school in April of 85, I think it was, yeah, 85. And I went back to Florida, and I went to Fort Lauderdale, and I started school. Meanwhile, my mother, about a month after I got clean, she got clean through the help of my cousin, and she had stayed clean. So I went to live with her in Fort Lauderdale, but I only ended up living with her for about a month because we didn't get along very well. So I went to live in this hotel on the strip in Fort Lauderdale by myself. And still had a bad attitude. And I was very jealous of the people I went to college with. And it was a very partying atmosphere on Fort Lauderdale Strip. That's where my school was, the Art Institute of Fort Lauderdale. And I became very good friends with this guy that I was in class with, this gay guy. And he got high a lot, and I told him that I was recovering, and I took him to some NA meetings with me, but I ended up getting high with him. He didn't get clean. I had a lot of reservations about using cocaine. I still wanted to use cocaine, and a lot of the reason I used cocaine was because I had a weight problem, and it kept me really, really thin. And during the time that I had been clean, about 9 months, I had gained like 40 pounds. So a lot of my incentives for using the coke was just like to lose the weight again. So I took these 2 hits of cocaine, and it, the same effect happened as the first time I relapsed, where I just wanted to come down immediately. And I got very paranoid, and but yet we kept looking for more. There was no more. I mean, if I had known that that was all there was, I probably wouldn't have done it, but it was very, like, by surprise. So we thrust through cocaine, and I had no connections because all my connections were at Miami Beach, and we were in Fort Lauderdale. For some reason, the next day, I saw my mom, and I hadn't planned on staying clean. I planned on just keep using, but I guess something happened, and I told my mother what happened, and she, like I said, she's recovering now, and she, like, forced me to go to an NA meeting with her, and I picked up a white chip. And that was in May of 1985, and I've been clean ever since. And something happened at this point, and I changed, and I wanted to stay clean for myself now. I guess I had to experience getting high a couple times after my major bottom, to know that that's not what I wanted for myself anymore, and to see the other side a little bit. And when I went back to NA, I got into it, and I found that I really liked it. And I met some people, especially one person in particular who had 3 years clean at the time, and she became my best friend, and she's still my best friend. She showed me that I can have friends that are fun and cool and interesting, that are clean, and that I wasn't missing anything by being clean at a young age, because she had gotten clean when she was 15. It was very hard for me at first because I was very introverted and I didn't like to talk to people very much. So my recovery could be easier than it has been, I suppose. But I've changed a lot in the time that I've been clean, and it doesn't really matter how long it takes as long as I stay clean, I guess. I came into recovery being a devout atheist, and the program that I'm in is a spiritual program. So at first I really didn't think that I was going to make it. I would hear the word God and I would cringe, and I would not have anything to share, I felt, because I didn't believe in God and I didn't understand what they meant by spiritual, not religious. And I would mainly just judge people, and I'd try to make myself different. But I was told that it doesn't really matter how long it takes you to acquire spiritual beliefs, as long as you stay clean, that's the most important thing. And that's what I did. Every day I would stay clean, even if I wanted to use so bad that I couldn't stand it. I would stay clean and do it minute by minute, hour by hour. And I stayed in school, and I worked 2 jobs, and I just lived as a normal human being.
Okay, back to Rachel. Moving right along.
One thing that was really important that I was told over and over again was not to leave before the miracle happens, and that I had been so emotionally screwed up for so long and had used drugs for so long that even though I was unhappy being clean, that eventually I would find happiness inside, and just to wait it out. Because so many times I would say, you know, I'm fucking miserable, I hate being clean, I just want to go back to using. And I didn't have a lot of hope, and that's one thing that I gained from people telling me this, was that they went through the same thing and that it takes a long time. And I can say today that I am about 1,000 times happier than I ever have been in my life. And sometimes I still want to get high. I've been clean for 3.5 years. And I think that I should be over it. But I know that I'm an addict and I have a disease, and it's natural for me to want to get high and not to beat myself up because I'm not, you know, totally spiritual and happy all the time. That's not normal. And to remember, I'm a human being that's going to go through ups and downs in life, and it's not going to be all happiness all the time. My concept of spirituality is a lot different than it was before, and I've done a lot of different things to try to pursue that, with meditation and relaxation and visualization, stuff like that. And it helps me a lot because I'm the kind of person who is very anxious all the time and nervous and tense and worried. and I'm very concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow and what happened yesterday and what people think of me and, you know, just being sometimes is really, really difficult. And having spiritual belief, knowing that there's something there that's helping me and that's going to carry me through, is probably the way that I stay happy more than anything else. I've been moving a lot ever since I got clean, and I just moved to California from Florida about 3 months ago, and I've gone through a lot of pain in the last few months because I ended a relationship that I was in for about a year and a half, on and off, and that person was also recovering, and I kind of lost my focus for a really long time about getting better with inside myself and gaining self-esteem and just pursuing my own life, and I kind of got caught up in pursuing his life and making sure he stayed in my life. And I tried to break up many times, but I couldn't stay gone for more than 2 months at a time, or he couldn't stay gone, and it was very hard. So now, the reason I've moved across the country is so I can really let go, finally. And letting go of somebody is, to me, a lot harder than giving up drugs was. Because I'm a human being and I'm still going to have to go on having relationships with people, whereas drugs are not a necessity in my life. And it's been very hard out in California because it's the people are somewhat different, although they are the same and they feel the same things I do. There's a kind of a different attitude. And it's not easy to get close to people, and I've just been trying to focus on the similarities and not the differences. And and on the other hand, it's been very, very good because I really don't have a focus as far as a career, because when I went to art school, I finished a year, but it was a 2-year course, and after that, I didn't know what to do because I thought that was my lifelong dream, was to be an artist. And then I decided that wasn't for me anymore, and I kind of was left with a really large hole inside, not knowing what path to go on as far as a career. So I feel like being in California is a really good place for that, and there's a lot of creativity and there's a lot of opportunity. What's hard for me is just managing to stay here and to remember that's why, that I can do that, and to motivate myself and not just exist and to take risks. But on the most part, I'm changing and I'm growing and I'm happy. I'm pretty happy. And I never thought that I would have that. My relationships with my family are good, and except for I don't talk to my father anymore. At one point in recovery, I tried to help him recover, but I feel that some people are a little too far gone, or they're just not willing, or they're indifferent towards spiritual principles. And I think he's all of the above. And also, he's very sick, and I just don't want to be any part of him anymore. My stepfather, I don't know what happened to him. I think he's dead or in jail. I haven't talked to him for 10 years. And my mom is still clean, and she's living in Florida, and we get along great. And Ivan is also still clean, and our relationship is well, our relationship kind of went through some changes in the last year, and I'm going to be seeing him tomorrow, and give me an opportunity to maybe do some communicating about the changes that have gone down, and maybe something could happen. I don't know. I'm trying not to think about it too much, but I still love him, and I'm still really grateful to him for helping me. And I'm gonna stop.